Okay.
Oh, okay.
Welcome, everyone. Call the meeting of the Wilmer Planning Commission to order. We have a almost full commission. This is good. Item number one, or number two, minutes for the January 25th, 2017 meeting. Be looking for a motion to file the minutes.
So Mr. Frank will bring the motion. I'll motion.
Get a motion or all of them, please.
What?
You take one of those for a second.
I'll take that guy and I'll hide him.
Any questions?
Never remember next week.
Comments?
Mute.
Hearing none, all those in favor of filing the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. By the way, we're removing item number five tonight. They're not ready to present in that regard.
Thought we were, but weren't. Hopefully next time.
That's the street vacation over by the fairgrounds.
They're nearing some resolution, so.
So apparently our questions are good ones. Item three, Rockstep Plaza subdivision final plat. Megan?
If you all recall from our meeting a few weeks back, this is over on the mall property off of 19th Avenue Southeast, so it's just west of their strip mall and then east of the accessories for trucks. It's this piece of property right here that they're subdividing off to sell it for development of an auto parts retailer. They added the utility easements as were requested by the municipal utilities. I have not received copies of their easement agreements, and generally we don't sign the final plats until we get all of those documents. It's up to you guys and your comfort level if you're okay approving it with that contingency that staff would verify that we have all those documents before the chair and the secretary or vice chair would sign. You could even put on these conditions instead of be provided the city that final plat signatures won't be provided until such time as these are obtained. That'd be all right too. I know they are working on it, so obviously the whole final platting process takes a little bit to get prints made and all of that.
That's all between the mall and
between the mall and
Auto.
Auto zone.
And we've already done the preliminary approval on this. We just simply need to make certain that all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted.
Protect the current and future landowners of those properties.
And when do they expect to get that all completed and to you?
Well, I told them that I need copies before they record, so they are aware of that. So, the timing of all of their processes. They need at least 30 days review by the county before they can make their Mylars. So
they've got to wait.
Yeah. This is just kind of our final blessing. And it goes through the city council too. Mm-hmm. Final plat.
You can put out the building up like the one first.
I think it's a typical auto zone. I don't know if you've seen other.
I'm trying to remember what it looks like.
It's kind of white, I think it went straight towards the top.
Yeah. The commercial.
Auto zone.
That's what they
look
like.
Is it all coming back now?
Yeah, it's coming back.
All right, what would the commission like to do?
Well, there's probably no need to see it again. I'll move approval based on the recommendations the staff has required.
And that is to
approve
with the,
recommendations.
Conditions,
yeah.
And that it can't be recorded until they satisfy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Okay, so we have a motion to approve.
Second.
Discussion. Anybody with any further questions, comments? Hearing none, this is not a roll call, is it? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item number four, proposed city land sale. Megan?
Let me get us over there.
Yep. So this is another part of the extension of the industrial park.
The newest industrial.
West of County Road 5.
Correct, so this is part of Industrial Park Fourth Edition. Just to orientate yourself, here's Highway 40. And County Road 5, and here's Genio Turkey Store. So this is the southern part of the new industrial park. And part of the city charter requires any land sales to come before the planning commission in consideration of land use issues prior to the city selling or buying land.
So the Dooley project is north of this.
The Dooley project is, let me zoom out here a little bit. So Dooley's is here. The telecommunication Bacchus site is here, so we're talking down on the south end.
So Bacchus has got that lot one?
Bacchus is, yes, lot one, block four.
And Dooley's has got
four, five, six, seven? Possibly seven as well. It'll say on here, let's zoom in. Dooley's. No, Dooley owns these three.
Yeah, the city of Wilton.
City owns this one still.
The front one.
So these two and this one here are Dooley's.
Okay.
So the city is working with a company called Magnum Holding Inc. And they are looking at, in your drawing, this has already changed since last Wednesday through the negotiation, which lot they want. Your drawing, it shows lot two is the one that's being sold. It's actually switching. They're going to be purchasing lot one, and then first right of refusal for lot two.
So let's zoom back over to this.
Sorry.
There we go. Okay. And so just to clarify, they're purchasing this.
Correct. That's what they're looking
and
at right now.
And right of first refusal on the front.
Correct.
Lot. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so the city charter requires you folks to review and discuss the proposed land purchase.
Okay.
If there's any land use issues that you can foresee.
Okay.
We have another lot. Mm-hmm. Isn't that like a pond in there?
That's a
lot. Outlot B would be a holding pond.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And generally, outlots aren't buildable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember it's always been water.
All the utilities are in?
The utilities are in. Electric is in. Natural gas is not. Because I know that people to the north are on the list to get their natural gas installed. They don't think Dooley's is putting in gas. They'll provide their cells with propane.
Okay. So from a land sale standpoint, does staff have concerns at this point in time?
No.
And this is a what they're going to be doing is generally permitted, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah, it's an industrial use. They already are operating out of another lot in the other part of the industrial park. I'll take you there. They're over on Trot Avenue. So they're right here. So just for a point of reference, West Central Chemicals over here. Here's the Tribune office printing.
Yeah.
So they're currently right here, but they're needing more space.
Mm-hmm.
So are they relocating, or are they going to use additional space?
That I don't know, if they're going to be getting rid of this site or not.
So it's not a warehouse, really, is it? Is it more just for their place to store some of their trucks or something, and to work on the trucks?
Yeah, I don't know what they do exactly. I haven't been in the negotiation process, so I just know it's Magnum Trucking.
Whatever they're doing is appropriate.
An industrial type use, yeah.
Sure. So we don't get involved in any of the pricing or anything like that. That's all held at the staff level.
And the city council, yeah.
It comes to us because we just...
Because it is deemed in the charter that it will be for us.
That it comes to us.
Yeah, it'll be coming back to us.
Do you know if this is a service center or a repair center?
I have not, I've not heard any of the details. Oh, you're talking the new site, what they'll be doing there?
Yeah.
I have not.
And that would be us getting ahead of ourselves anyway. At this point in time, they would still need to come to us with a site plan, and we'd go through all of our normal processes at that time.
Could you go back to the other lots?
Certainly. They're headquartered out of Fargo.
Is the extension of that street completed, or is that something that's going to be...
No, this is completed. This aerial is not.
Up to date.
There's curb and gutter and pavement in there now, so.
And access is off of Wilmer Avenue?
Off of...
It is Wilmer Avenue.
This is Wilmer Avenue.
To the lot, I mean.
Yeah.
To the lot, yes. Correct, it wouldn't be off of County Road 5.
Right.
They probably wouldn't request one if they ever bought another property either, would they?
Pardon?
I would, I would be concerned if somebody buys that property, I wouldn't allow any...
I think we're trying to have all the, you know, the main accesses are Trot and Wilmer and that.
That's one of the reasons, I'm on this committee, so I...
I think it'd be... The county would probably kibosh that as far as entrances that goes to the intersection.
Be pretty clear that they're going to have to access these properties off of...
Wilmer.
Yep.
Because there's median part of it anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, does anybody need to know anything else about this at this time? What would the commission like to do? You're looking, Megan, for a motion to...
To recommend the city continue the process of selling them the property.
I'd make that motion.
I'd second it.
Okay, discussion?
Selling that.
Yep.
All right, hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Like I said, we're removing number five. Number six, miscellany, Megan?
Not have any miscellany.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about your lovely packet of information?
Well, let's do this, because within the next month, we will, should be at full strength finally. And then I think that's a more appropriate time to pick that up. If you're following...
Margaret, a copy?
Yes.
Thank you.
And might as well...
Everybody else got one, right?
Anything you see here scare you off? Okay, then give one to Terry too.
Okay.
We'll get him up to speed. We play cards once in a while, so we can have, I can bring him up to speed on that little item. Yeah, I think once we have everybody up to speed, and we were just, Megan and I were just talking briefly before, a couple of the former members of the commission were part of the ad hoc committee to help come up with recommendations that could be regarding the accessory dwelling unit discussion that we had, so that Megan could bring forward recommendations to her so she can put that in ordinance form. And I think it'd be nice for the institutional memory as much as anything else to have them back, just to help us understand where we started at and where we, how we got to that point, being that we'll have a number of new members on the commission. I think it's worthwhile taking that time and having that look back so that we can start having that further discussion. At some point in time, we have to give something back to the council. And it'd be nice if we could do that by the summer, I would think would be a good time. In the meantime, there's you continue to see already municipalities, local units of government starting to look at accepting the new code on small homes on foundations. So that's already moving forward even since the approval last fall. So it's going to be a big deal. And it was interesting, I saw on LinkedIn earlier today, one of the local bank owners was talking about millennials and wasn't understanding why they aren't interested in buying houses.
Because they're in the basements.
Well, they're still in. Well, they can afford to be in their parents' basements at the moment. But they're also not into 3,000 square foot homes.
Nope.
So this is going to be a big deal if we want people to actually be homeowners. You know, they want smaller. They're not into things like us boomers are/were.
That'll change,
but we got to get them into housing that's if they really do want to own, this will be an option for them at some point in time, whether it's the accessory dwelling units or whether we're really looking at, you know, helping to push forward the idea of smaller homes.
So how are you going to attack this thing? I mean, there's or has this is what you kind of put together from future discussions, but there's different towns have ordinance ends here. You're not trying to pick out pieces and
yeah. This is kind of a summary of the materials that we looked at late last summer and last fall, and those are, you know, that's what the ad hoc committee used to help formulate some ideas for Megan to bring us something in ordinance form. We'll be able to, you know, get back up to speed on that, and then we can have our own discussions about, okay, what does this draft of the ordinance look like? What are we comfortable with? What are we not comfortable with? Let's, you know, are there any changes? Or, you know, should we go a step further? Or, you know, that's our discussion to have. At some point in time, like I say, we have to, we're directed to bring something back to the city council since they passed this whole thing off to us to begin with. So. So, you know, take a look at that. I would say once we get up to speed here, I presume that Terry's, what's the timetable for bringing Terry on?
It'll be at the next council meeting?
Okay.
So, I mean, if you're still, because your letter was basically, I'm interested, but can I sit in and see
yeah,
what it's all about?
Yeah.
So, if you want me to let the mayor's office know that you're interested, I will do so.
Yeah.
Megan, will our ordinance be in meters? I'm noticing a lot of this stuff is metric in here.
Oh, it's from Canada.
Okay.
We will not be a metric. I was like, are you kidding me?
Okay.
No.
Well, I've just heard that there has been some movement towards working with it more.
And just a reminder, this is not tiny houses on wheels. You know, that's not what this discussion is about. It's about tiny/small homes on foundations. So
complete with permanent sewer water type of, you know, all hooked up.
So our discussion, we talked about it. Yeah,
it's just a permanent.
We talked about it, and there's just not a way to do it in Minnesota.
Existing lot with existing residential dwelling.
I'm sorry.
Not in all cases.
No, not in all cases.
Part of the discussion that we're having is about allowing these accessory dwelling units on lots where it's big enough to do it.
Yeah.
Where you already have an existing home that is larger and these are accessory dwellings, much smaller, but they can be on that same piece of property. One of the things that the committee talked about was you have to have the owner of the property in at least one of those dwellings. I know other municipalities don't do that, and they both end up becoming rentals, but I don't sense, just from my experience over the years, that that a city council will be comfortable with that, that they'll want an owner occupation of one, at least one of the units.
So they'd still have the same setback requirements, like site setbacks and all that, as the permanent house that's already there, or if they're only there, they would.
Right, and they're addressing things like, you know, overall height, overall size in relation to the dwelling that's already on there. Overall look, you know, needs to look, you know, similar in finish. That and it cannot ever be separated as a separate parcel. It will remain with that, and if it gets to the point where there's no longer an owner occupying that, then the ability to rent out one or rent out the other property is it's not available. You'd only be able to rent one out, correct?
Has there been any inquiries or applications for this at this point?
Say that again? No. No.
The public hasn't shown any interest in pursuing any of these as a project?
Well, not necessarily.
No, but we catch people renting out their garages or someone living out of a garage.
Yeah, these already exist, but they're not, but they're not approved, shall we say.
Yeah.
You know,
you could put one of these in the garage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be out of sight.
You can make the garage, you know, depending upon. I mean, there's one a block away from me, you know, that's been there for years. So they do exist, and I think I put a couple of thoughts into this, in that if we run down this road, we should also have a process for people who, you know, have these already existing but not, you know, falling under this ordinance, give them a certain period of time to bring everything up to current code.
Illegal accessory dwellings.
Making them legal accessory dwellings, correct.
And are we also going to be having, like, contractors who want to build smaller houses in a project?
It won't surprise me. And
I'm just wondering if we're going that route too. I mean, that's, you know.
Or individuals that want to go on one of those smaller lots that
are
all over the city.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing stopping them right now. If they need setback for building a smaller home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you codify it, you know, then people are going to look at that and say, you know, oh well, this is a place where it's maybe a little more accepted to do it this way.
So Steve, in your search for information, have you found any communities where a tiny home subdivision has been started?
Yes, and I can't tell you what they are at the moment, but I can grab that and present that. It's happening more and more frequently already. Like I say, once the help me out, Megan. What's the code authority that just
IBC?
Met? Yes, thank you.
International Building Council.
Where they just approved tiny homes on foundations, new. Standards for that.
Now that could still happen right now in Wilmer someplace.
Except that if we don't adopt the new code, they have to meet existing code, which is, so now you get a little higher ceilings and you can't, for example, have a one of your egress being out of a loft. You know, that's one of the things that's
smaller lots
too. Even smaller lots. I mean, I suppose we could do a subdivision.
PUD.
Under a PUD. Certainly we could.
Is there a minimum lot size? No, maybe not residential. On that one. I think so.
Except for PUDs.
Yeah, I was thinking it was like, for some reason.
What's PUDs?
Oh, I'm sorry, planned unit development?
Yeah.
So it's a private development?
So like trailer parks or something like that, somewhere?
Not even that, like a twin home development, those are PUDs, because they're usually smaller, yeah.
They maintain the street and everything.
It's common.
The townhouses over on 11th Street Southwest, was that a PUD or? I know you have south of Casey's, yeah, over on Richland. That was a PUD, so they don't have to meet the same street widths. They typically don't have on-street parking.
They oftentimes have a private street.
Yeah.
And have reduced.
Does the city, doesn't plow those streets?
No.
Those streets are public. On 11th Street it's public.
Oh, yes.
But the cul-de-sac.
If you.
Like heading north, behind the furniture store, what is that called?
What's colors, is it normal street signs, are they, those are gray?
Private streets are blue.
If you see a street with a blue sign on it, that's private.
Here, I'll take you to some.
Yeah, so over on the southeast end of town, for example.
Okay, yep.
The street lights are security lights that they're paid for.
So.
As long as it's.
Behind the public market.
Just south of, here's Highway 12 and Lakeland Drive. Warren Erickson did a PUD here, and this is called Valley View Drive, and that is a private street. So the association maintains it, they plow it. If it needs new pavement, they handle all of that. It has a blue street sign.
Yeah.
Is that one over behind, maybe that's one.
On Lakeland behind Regency, or the old Regency, that's a.
Oh, that is the one, okay.
Yep.
Yep.
You were asking what minimum lot sizes are for a single family home? Is 8,500 square feet.
I was thinking it was around 8, so, yeah.
But
could they put, they couldn't put multiple of these little houses on one platted residential lot?
If you, if they had a plan, if they had something that they could present as a PUD, possibly.
No, but just on a, I'm just saying, on an existing platted lot that meets the 8,500 square feet.
Call one of them accessory dwelling?
Could they build a small house on it?
Could they put two small houses on it?
No, not right now.
As soon as this is in, they.
Because the accessory cannot be, it has to be a certain percentage smaller than the.
It's supposed to be, but also right now.
That's part of our discussion.
Right.
I think we came up with a ratio, percentage.
And I know that you're still working on the draft based upon those recommendations, so.
So what exactly did the council tell us to do?
This came out of the discussion that we had where the state of Minnesota passed a law that you had to accommodate, unless your city opted out of it, you had to accommodate these temporary, what they called granny pods. So up to 300 square feet, that you could just, you know, run an electrical cord and have somebody come in and pump the, empty the sewer.
But it also had a medical component to it. You had to prove the grandma was sick and needed to stay near you. Like there's this whole.
Yeah.
Medical part of it that would have been very difficult to regulate and police and.
Well, and yeah, and that's not the function of your department.
Right, so the legislature gave all the communities time to either adopt it or opt out. The council chose to opt out.
They opted out and then.
You know, these are kind of coming up out in the news, and maybe it's something that the planning commission should discuss and have a plan so that if someone does approach us, we have some way to address it.
And the general consensus of the commission at that time was that these are simply not practical in our climate. They were gonna give you 6 months as of right, and you could apply for another 6 months. But that was it, you know, after a year. Now what do you do with grandma?
Right.
You know? And over time, our discussion morphed more into the discussion of accessory dwelling units as infill, and potentially giving us some other housing options in a day and age where you've got, especially where we have about a 2% vacancy rate in the city of Wilmer right now on rental. I mean, that doesn't accommodate growth. And if we're going to have businesses wanting to come into town, fill up this industrial park or what have you, the people who are going to work in these places need places to live. And, you know, we can choose to, you know, as a community, accommodate that, or we can choose to say, no, we don't want those folks living here. Let them go to Pennock,
okay,
or what have you.
Can the, there's no minimum size on our, in a residential lot, in a residential existing platted lot.
Minimum house size?
Yeah.
Or what are you asking?
Right.
Yeah.
There's not.
I mean,
so somebody could go put one
could
of these
build
on
a small house right now.
On a,
on a foundation.
You know, like I was just, the one that hit me was the north half of Oslo. What is that? Oslo Meadows up there.
Oh,
Oslo
yeah.
Heights up there, where they got so many
tens,
four units, and they're really, really small lots.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that they could go in and...
Yeah, you could go there right now and buy one of these.
And they could...
Unless there's covenants recorded with the plan.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is...
almost all of it is tax.
North of, here's Ridgewater.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, so, back behind you.
Yeah,
no,
this was all platted during the boom. These are going to be garden
they
homes.
They got caught in the boom.
And
mm-hmm.
some guys out of Mankato for Fairbolt.
Mm-hmm. Are they going back to...
No,
I was going to say it's back from taxes, no.
Mm-hmm. And there were covenants, but I don't know if they've sunsetted or if they're still...
Well, I do know around the city that there are quite a few covenants that are not enforced anyway.
Right.
So these private covenants, people just do what they want to do.
Right.
Or a developer could come in, pick up the rest of this, and have it replatted as a PUD, and have a tiny home community if they wanted.
You know, I could see the viability for low-income housing. Basically, that's what it is. But for elderly, and you know, this may be a premature discussion here, but from one who's been taking care of two elderly parents for the last 10 years,
mm-hmm.
it would be unworkable to have them in a little shack on my lot.
Yeah.
Right. I think
anybody
this is
that's
well
thinking that is not thinking right.
Yeah. Well, and I think the state law that was passed was well intentioned, but I think part of what happened was that there's a company in the metro area that actually got a state grant to develop these granny pods that they just slide onto a spot, and they wouldn't respond back to me when I asked, but I heard through the grapevine they'd done like four of these, so four
total.
Granny pods total at that
basically
time.
They all on slab?
Not even, it wouldn't even have had to
trailer.
Been on a slab. You could just bring in some class five, I suppose, level it out.
Yeah.
Storage unit.
Well, yeah, it's just, and, you know, and you think about it,
yeah.
You know, for example,
yeah.
and I keep going back to my lot, you know, I could put a 1,000 square foot shed on there right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, or, you know, I could put a small home on it if I want. I have no plans to do either, but there are places in town where people might like to have, you know, mom, give mom a place in the backyard or side yard, and you know, where she has her own, you know, and they still,
well,
and they exist already.
The house, that'd be okay.
They could be prefab houses. They just can't be like trailer houses because those are still that's the separation because that's got the wheels still.
They could be modular and put on a foundation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they have to meet some aesthetic standards,
right.
Certainly. I mean, you're not going to get to put up a block house,
right.
You know, or a tin shed or anything like that. So I think as we move into the discussion and we get brought back up to date and we start being able to look at a first draft ordinance. I think it'll become a little clearer for us as we go along what, you know, what issues we may run into. There's probably things that we haven't thought of yet. And that's why it'll be nice to have a full commission to be able to move this discussion forward. Jeff?
This is called a, you're calling it accessory dwelling unit discussion, but it, I mean, accessory is like what you talked about. That's the second home on the lot with the bigger home.
Correct.
But is this something that some of that's going to be pertinent to, say, somebody did a small house on lots like that, or is that totally back to just a regular house building?
If you wanted something in the subdivision ordinance that specifically talked about developments of a smaller lot size,
mm-hmm.
not a planned unit development, just allowing them outright or something like that. I mean,
mm-hmm. But what you're saying here, you want to stay with just this accessory thing.
Well, I think what you're asking about is it kind of grows out of this discussion, but it really is a separate thing altogether. For example, if you want to have an overlay district, you know, where you can go ahead and put a tiny home development, pocket neighborhood type of thing, you would have to allow that by writing a new ordinance, just like we're talking about with the accessory dwelling units.
I just didn't know how much in common the two have.
I'm sorry?
I didn't know how much in common the two, the accessory and the small one had.
Yeah, it just, you know, the one discussion kind of brings up the other, you know, especially with changing housing preferences out there in the market right
now. It could be the same structure,
mm-hmm.
but it's an accessory because it's sitting on a lot with another building.
Right.
It would be a tiny home if it was on its own lot.
At what point, Megan, does the county consider a mobile home structure permanent part of the real estate? Because I see this where we put them on a block or a concrete foundation, bolt them down, we can start taxing them as a permanent structure.
Okay.
And notwithstanding, the axles may still be underneath it, the wheels may still be underneath
really?
It, we take off the tongue and...
And it's on owner-occupied land or it's leased land?
You're talking out in the county.
Correct. Sometimes it is owner-occupied and sometimes it was owner-occupied and then becomes leased when the owner leaves. In certain cases, we treat it as personal property when we consider it not physically attached to the real estate. In other
sure.
words, rather easily removable, put on the tires, put on the
yeah.
kitchen,
mm-hmm.
unhook the utilities. In other cases, we can bolt it down and we consider it permanent, but yet it would take very little to remove.
To get it out of here.
Yeah.
Well, we only allow trailer. Or mobile homes in the mobile home parks in town.
Right, and there they are simply personal property.
Yeah, because the park owns the land.
And the reason I'm going down this discussion is the original concept of elderly on a small house on an existing residential lot. In those kind of scenarios, it seems to me that it would make more practical sense to use the ones that can be easily removed, because once the initial use is done, that becomes a problem. And you start renting it, and now your neighbors are getting short with the behavior of some tenants who don't respect the property, and it
mm-hmm.
goes on and on.
And which is why you want to be able to make sure that you've got all this covered in ordinance form, you know, and that we've made all the new considerations. You know, it's one thing to put something out in the county, but if we're going to have something inside the city limits, which is, you know, what we're talking about, then we have to be able to come up with standards that, you know, have to be met. That's what we're going to be charged with.
So are you saying maybe a mobile unit should be part of the approved?
You like it better than a permanent.
If you've been past the Habitat for Humanity retail on First Street, the last time once you saw that tiny home, they pull it up, wasn't it on wheels?
Yes.
Yeah.
And isn't that the intent of a structure like that, to be able to...
Is to be portable.
Place it, and then to be able to move it when the need arises or the use terminates?
Yeah.
Rather than if you, you know, if you're going to create an ordinance for a permanent accessory building that is actually a dwelling, what happens when that initial use ends? Do we then allow everybody to lease these dwellings out all over town?
Well, what we're talking about, you know, first of all, in the initial discussion, is they have to be on a foundation. So you're taking the next step and saying, okay, what about tiny homes on wheels? Right?
Well, I think that comes before, that's the discussion before the permanent foundation. For the purpose that you're permitting these type of structures. You know, what is the purpose, what best meets that purpose, and what best protects the property values when the purpose ends. You know, once you've got a permanent accessory building out there, do you want to include provisions that say, okay, if the relative housing situation has ended, should we restrict it to a storage building just like your garden shed, or should it then become whoever owns that property has free use to do whatever they want, and if that, because it's never going to be sold as a separate unit. It'll always be part.
Under what we've been talking about, but these are not movable buildings.
Right, they're permanent.
And also, they're not just for parents. That was because of the state ordinance that we were talking about, grandparents and grandpas. This actually will be rental property.
Could be rental property. Yeah.
It's intended for rental property then as an alternative use.
That's
one of the
and then we need to take a very close look at zoning, because there was purposes for why our properties are zoned the way they are now. If you might, you know, think of, well, will this encourage everybody with a sufficiently sized lot to put out rental units? It wouldn't take that much cost, and is that what we want to do to our communities?
And would it necessarily be so bad? And that's one of the reasons why, when we started the discussion, the idea was that, you know, you had to have one of the two units has to be owner occupied, and then you could rent out the other one. If it's not owner occupied, you can't rent out that second.
And also, we discussed on that it had to be a permanent structure.
Yeah,
right.
We would never put these on R1.
No,
I'm just gonna.
And that's correct.
Yeah. What's the definition of R1? Is
R1 is single family.
R2 only.
So the vast majority of lots and stuff are R1.
The vast majority of the community is R2.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
But if your house is already a duplex, that means you cannot have an ADU in the back area
if
you're already
married.
Right.
It's R2.
So what are the different foundation structures? So in this way, it's got to be on a foundation.
Slab on grade.
What are the options?
Basement or slab on grade.
Yeah.
Whether it's poured or block. Or, you know,
so it could be a block.
There are wood foundations all over.
Yeah.
So I could take that tiny house over there on First Street, pull it out, frame up a wood foundation underneath it, and it would work.
It has water and meets all the building codes.
Yeah, because it would have to be entirely self-contained.
Right.
So you'd have to have an actual kitchen. You'd have to have
a real toilet.
You have to be
a concrete slab
on that lot.
It doesn't have to be cement block. It could be.
It depends on what we put in the ordinance.
If these are being rented out to the public as opposed to, say, elderly care or children's
parents' units,
you know, I can see the affinity for having it close to the main house.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's going to be a just public rental, you probably want, would be looking for more distance than you would for bringing something in close and having to deal with your tenants on top of your existing lot.
Possibly.
Have we looked at the benefits and burdens of putting these throughout an existing developments that were created and built under existing zoning,
mm-hmm.
versus putting these in their own locations where people that want to live in tiny houses, and I know that's where I've seen these kind of developments, that's where most of them have gone, is in these new developments designed just for these units, for
mm-hmm.
people that are into that type of residential living.
Sure.
Most of the ones that are put into existing residential lots are usually non-code or in violation of the
system. Well, as it stands right now, that's correct.
And that's not just in Wilmer.
Yeah, and that's why if we come up with something, now we can bring these older units into compliance as well. I mean, they already exist. You know, we probably need to look at, you know, setting those standards for those types of things.
Would they be grandfathered in?
They probably would.
Yeah.
Well, it's not necessarily.
No.
Because, you know, they probably never got permission to change that garage over in the first place. They just decided to rent it.
On a regular size residential lot, that's
mm-hmm.
already like existing. About the only place that they would, unless it's a really huge lot, about the only place they would have to put them would be in the backyard.
Correct.
Because the house is already usually taken up the side.
Yeah.
So you'd be in the backyard someplace. And
so it's not going to be a common thing. So you're still going to need to, and I know where I like where you're going with this, you're still going to need to provide some ideas for developments of small accessory dwelling unit types on foundation, as well potentially as tiny homes on wheels, being able to accommodate those as well. I think you aren't going to see a lot of that just because of our climate. And honestly, if it was going to happen, I would just as soon they take something like Regency West, and you know, somebody redevelop that into a tiny home.
Kuzma's got a lot of
developments. So yeah, you're and what you're bringing up is
Erickson's building,
you know,
for years.
Fabulous from the standpoint of discussion. We have to go through all of this at some point in time. I just think we need to get caught up with the discussion here first, so that everybody, especially those of you just coming on the commission, know what we've talked about previously, so that we can move forward with our discussions with a full commission. I think that's, you know, we've struggled under that for the past year.
Has anybody brought up the fish house yet?
Well, that one in front of Habitat looks like a fish house.
My take
on this whole thing is, I'm going to be really, you're going to really have to be tough for me to approve anything where you're going to have any wheels.
I can't. My batteries went out.
Any wheels or anything, these things, I will just be set against them. That will not be, they'll be in the ordinance, but they'll be prevented as far as I'm
concerned. A park model.
Anything that has possibility of being moved.
Especially a small house.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying putting something that looks like a movable object.
You can take any of these modulars or mobile homes, and they look like a trailer going down the road, but when you set them down and skirt them properly, you
mm-hmm.
can tell them.
Yep.
And you can go down and you can buy one of these backyard sheds,
mm-hmm.
and you can set it down on a slab, and it looks like a permanent, but they can be picked up.
But when you were saying earlier that they screw them in, the axles and the wheels are still underneath them, no.
But we
some
have
of those park models will be more professional, look better
mm-hmm.
yeah.
than a built structure.
And there's different classes of those too.
Yeah, but those don't meet the standard for, well, some do now, I suppose, at least for temporary, housing at least, because when we were at the RV show a couple of weekends ago, that's what they were showing, a couple of these park models, is actually emergency, you know, temporary type housing is how they were being marketed. But, you know, when we talk about, you know, things like mobile homes, we have a special place, you know, in our ordinances, in our code for, and in our zoning for those types of things. You could carve out an opportunity within, within the code for something similar that accommodates tiny homes on wheels within their own neighborhoods. You know, it's,
I don't think Columbus population is high enough to have a large enough percentage of people that want those communities.
And I suspect that, you're right about that. We just need to make it part of the discussion now, you know, so that, you know, at least if a future commission comes back to it, they can say, okay, here's the discussions that they had before. At least they're going to have a starting point for that. Because ultimately, the planned unit development ordinance would probably be the vehicle currently if somebody wanted to do a small home or tiny home development.
So what the city council is asking for is just this accessory ones. We don't, you know, we can talk about those other ones, but we just need to narrow our focus down to just the this one cause, and that's what the city council asked for.
At this time, and then just keep everything else.
That makes it a whole lot simpler.
Yeah.
In your file cabinet.
Yeah. See, we started with that. We were trying to define things along the way, and we came to the conclusion that it was not only acceptable, but also the one we needed to prioritize on was the accessory.
Was the accessory, yeah. Because the temporary dwelling unit is what that state law was talking about.
And the new construction kind of fits in with the accessory in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be fairly similar.
Yeah. But I think it's I think it's worth us, you know, looking ahead as well. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, I think you're going to see a lot of changes in what people want and expect out of their housing going forward. So, okay. I guess I didn't think we were going to go that far with this at this time, but this is good. So, and we had the time when we were still going to get out inside of an hour. So unless there's any other miscellany.
I'll second.
Motion to adjourn and second it. All those in favor say aye. Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Megan?